Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back again, late again.
Yeah.
But the reason, I think, is self-explanatory.
Well, it is the season.
Look at the goddamn calendar and figure out the reason. Yeah. That's all I'm going to tell you. Yes.
Yeah, this will probably happen every October. Unless we get better at time management.
Well, that's
which
not,
hasn't happened yet.
No, that will never happen. But yes, we are late again. I apologize. We will be getting this up on Monday still, but it'll be Monday evening instead of Monday afternoon as we attempt to do. Please forgive us. But actually, it's because we open Friday.
Yeah.
And we have been industrious little beavers. In fact, we're going to talk about what we were building all day Sunday. And we're going to resume building in just a little bit.
Yeah.
If we can find the energy. Maybe we need to take some Red Bull intravenously or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
Japes know. Japes would probably want to have a word with us for saying that.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is Haunt Weekly. We are at hauntweekly.com. We're Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Turns out no one wanted the name.
Yeah.
tinyurl.com/hauntweekly, that's W-E-E-K-L-Y for all these, but tinyurl.com/hauntweekly takes you to our YouTube channel where all previous episodes are available for easy listening, but if you prefer, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and anywhere else to find our podcasts are distributed as usual. Now, today, we're talking about queue lines. And look, I know it's late in the season to be thinking about the queue line.
Right.
But maybe this is something to be thinking about for next year. And a lot of this started from a conversation I saw. I sent in the notes it was Haunter's Hangout, but I couldn't find the thread.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it too.
I'm pretty sure it was Haunter's Hangout, but it might have been Haunter's Toolbox or anyone the myriad of other groups we're members of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember where we saw it. But yeah, came from there, so people are talking about it, and we've been going to a lot of haunts. I think we're at haunt 14 on the season for us.
Something like that.
It's getting kind of ridiculous. But we're on haunt 14-ish. And the result of that is we've waited in a lot of queue lines. And we have seen the best of times and the worst of times in those queue lines.
Yeah.
So while we're sitting here and have it fresh in our head, and while we're redoing our queue line,
we're at 15.
15, okay. 15 haunts is what we've been to. We only have one more to go now.
Yes.
So it'll be 16 on the season. Not bad.
Mm-mm.
Not bad at all. But yes, so we've waited in a lot of queue lines. So what we're going to do is we're going to chat about queue line experience from the customer side a little bit.
Right.
And also some of the things we've noticed both in our queue line and in the ones we've waited in.
Mm-hmm.
And general attitudes thereof toward the queue line.
Right.
But first thing is first, we have conference reminders. It is an odd episode. Crystal is the oddball, therefore, you begin.
All right. November 9th and 10th, it's Dark History and Horror Con in Champaign, Illinois at the Garden Hotel Urbana. Tickets are just $20 for the weekend, $10 per day, and it includes a film festival. You can find out more at dhhcon.com.
All right, the same days in Salt Lake City, Utah, November 9th and 10th, it's the legendary Haunt Tourette, the Holiday Inn Express. We'll be touring Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory, among others, legendaryhaunttour.com for all the details.
Okay, January 25th through the 27th, it's HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest Memorial Convention Center. It'll be featuring us, Jonathan is talking, and HauntCon.com to find out more about the actual conference and follow us on all those places we mentioned earlier to find out what we're planning.
Yes, indeed. We will be planning something. I don't know what, but we'll be planning something. All right. After that, February 23rd and 24th, it's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. They will be touring Coffin Creek, both lights on and lights off, and also have a costume ball. HauntX.com for more information.
Okay, and finally for right now, February 27th through March 2nd, it is the Maze Corn Party in Dallas, Texas, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It'll be in the Westin Dallas and Fort Worth Airport Hotel, touring various mazes around Dallas and Oklahoma City, including Yesterland Farm, Mainstay Farm, and more. The Maze, MAIZE.com for more.
Yes, lots of great conferences coming up. Definitely check any out that might be in your area. All right. I want to start today's episode with story time. Story time is fun. We like story time around here. We have kind of a tradition with our haunt around here. We get to write now, as we've talked about on this podcast before, we're overgrown home haunters.
Right.
We only open for 3 nights, and this year's the 26th, 27th, and 31st. It's the Friday, Saturday before Halloween and Halloween night. And no, don't ask me what happens if Halloween falls on a Friday or Saturday. We're still figuring that crap out.
Yeah.
Okay, we just got into this particular routine a few years back.
Yeah. Yeah, because used to it would just be the 2 days before Halloween and Halloween, no matter when it was.
Yeah, and that didn't work out so good for a lot of reasons. Actors being one of the bigger problems.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we are opening this Friday. Will be our first night. We'll have Friday and Saturday, then we're going to record again on Sunday. We'll tell you how it went next week.
Right.
But right now, we're feeling A-okay about things.
Yeah.
In general. That build we talked about previously, we're going to talk more about it later. The rebuild of it went well. The first build went... Second build went amazing.
Oh, you're talking about the prop, not yeah. what we actually built yesterday.
Yeah.
Sorry, you've mentioned two things so far that we've built in this podcast.
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. The prop that we tried to build previously... And then failed epically at, and then succeeded wildly at the second time.
Yes.
I think we have it right this time. And what we'll probably be doing after things die down a little bit is I'm going to post exact schematics for it.
That'd be nice.
I think that was what we were missing was exact schematics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important thing that you need. So I'm going to publish those on Haunt Weekly, and I'll probably share it to various haunter groups, too.
You mean people need directions to build shit?
Yeah, sometimes. It helps to have measurements
sometimes.
And shit. Yeah.
Sometimes.
But, anyways, back to our tradition. Our tradition when we get to this time of year, usually the Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday before opening, we look at each other and say, hey, we really need to do something about the queue line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we've been so wrapped up in trying to finish building and cleaning out lighting and doing all the things we got a security system hanging, all the things we got to do in the haunt, that we stonking forget about the queue line.
Yeah.
We push it to the absolute last of our mind, and every year, 13 years now, queue line has just been an afterthought.
It has been.
And that's just the brutal truth.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where we talk about how we can upgrade it every year and make it better. But then we just don't have the time whenever it comes to it.
Yeah, that's what happens is by the time we're done with the haunt, the things that we have to do,
mm-hmm.
we're out of time, we're out of money,
yeah,
and we're out of energy.
Yeah.
We got nothing. We have nothing with which to take on another project.
Right.
So every year we do the same thing. We take the same crappy-ass tent we bought, 8, 9 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah. We build a crappy queue inside it. Last few years, we've had a pallet-made queue, which looked kind of cool, but...
It was better than what we had before.
Which was even worse.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Basically, we do some kind of weird decorations, whatever we can do with zip ties in a couple hours of time.
Yep.
If we have security in it, security cameras in it, they're poorly placed and...
Yeah, we've never actually had one in the tent.
Not in the tent, no. We've hung cameras on the outside looking into the tent.
Right.
But never one inside. And yeah, you just got this crappy old tent that is showing its age.
Yeah.
It's not that it's like leaking or anything.
No,
it's just it looks like crap.
Yeah.
Well, not this year, folks.
Nope.
We have broken the cycle. The vicious, vicious cycle of not giving a crap about our queue line.
Yeah.
We finally got done with the haunt early enough and with enough overhead to spare to actually do a brand new queue line, a whole new queue system. It's about the same size.
Right.
But instead of being a crappy tent with whatever we can mount with zip ties inside, it's actually a custom-built structure by us.
Yeah.
And I know this is a project that for a lot of haunts would just be a minor thing, sort of off to the side. It could be just one small section of a trail haunt, even.
Right. Well, and this is something that, you know, we've seen different ways to build them at major haunts.
Yeah.
Some people have ways where they can make it really fast to get to the front of the line if there's not a line.
Yeah.
Some people have, you know, not so easy ways.
Yeah. Well, we have to kind of split the baby on that one.
Yeah, we do.
Because one of our problems we face is our queue area is very narrow.
Yeah.
It is actually, we only have 9 feet of width to play within that area. Because right. we have to allow 3 feet for the exit path.
Yeah.
So, that's not good.
No.
That's one of the limitations. But we did the best we could. So what we did is we built a whole new queue structure made of solid pressure-treated lumber, stainless steel screws. This thing is built to last.
Yep.
It is heavy. It is monstrous.
Yeah.
And it will probably stand up the actual time. It will have places as places for trash cans to go.
Mm-hmm.
It has multiple actor... will have multiple actor pop-ins. That's what we got to build today. Yeah. It will have far better lighting now that we can actually screw things, now that we can, you know...
I can actually decorate it. I don't have to figure out how to decorate the inside of a tent.
Yeah.
And... I can theme it.
It'll hold much, much more... Much more people. Many more people than the previous one in the same amount of space.
Right.
Which is one thing I'm really, really fond of. Mm-hmm. Because the previous tent, because it had those curved sides...
Right.
A significant portion of the floor space... went to waste.
Right.
So we've got this brand new system. Really, really, really excited about it. Cannot wait to show it off. We've got, I've got photos of the framing, which we completed Sunday. That's what we were doing all day Sunday, was framing this out. Yeah. We're putting up the slats and the things on the side and doing decoration tonight, or tomorrow probably. And we'll hopefully be done with it by Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that. I'm thinking Thursday.
Well, we'll be done with it before next episode. We've got to be. So
well, yeah.
We're going to post photos of it as we go. Maybe we'll do like a progress thing, show you what we had and what we have now.
Yeah.
I think this tent, this whole system, it's not a tent. That's just it.
Yeah.
It's not a tent. It's dead sexy and it looks like one of the more professional things we've ever built.
Yeah.
Especially from scratch. And I want to say, on a personal note here, I did a large portion of the design and specifications on it.
Yeah.
And I also estimated the lumber that we needed.
Uh-huh.
I came within one board of being perfect.
Yeah. Well, and that's because we extended it.
Yeah, well, I kind of figured the extension was possible, and
yeah,
I tried to plan for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I came within one board. I was within 2%.
Yeah.
Of the actual amount of wood needed for it. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was really good. But all this work on the queue line has gotten us thinking about the queue lines that we've been visiting.
Right.
And, you know, it's just interesting to us how queue lines, how different haunts seem to approach them. And different haunts not just approach the queue lines, but wait times in general. And like I said, there was a thread, I believe it was on Haunters Hangout, and I'm not trying to call anyone out here because we don't know all the details of this.
Right.
But someone, basically there was a thread where someone, a customer had complained about a 45-minute wait on a busy night.
Yeah.
Now, right off the bat, I'm going to say I feel you here.
Yeah.
Saturday night, late in October,
yeah,
waits are going to happen.
Yeah. 45 minutes is not bad.
Not necessarily unreasonable.
No.
It's not necessarily unreasonable.
Necessarily, yeah.
That's the problem, is we don't know how many people were in this line. We don't know what their throughput is. We don't know what they're doing to entertain in the line.
Right.
We have no understanding of the other variables in play.
Right.
So there's a million reasons why the customer could be right and a million reasons why the haunt could be right. However, given the date, I kind of suspect the haunt is right on this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do not, and this is true, we do not go to haunts on Saturdays or Fridays so we can avoid it. In late October.
No. We're looking for those Thursday openings.
Thursday, Sundays, Mondays.
Yeah.
Dates like that. We're the assholes that show up during Hell Week. If we have to go late haunt. Mm-hmm. We're there on that Tuesday before Halloween.
Yeah.
Or we're there in early November sometimes, you know. We're there when the customers ain't. And
yeah.
That's very much by design. It's because we're doing this podcast. We have the reviews on Garbage Horror. We have our own fucking haunt to build.
Yeah.
And we have 15 other haunts to go to.
Right. And it usually gives us some time to meet anybody who wants to chat afterwards about what we thought.
Yeah. And it works out very well to not go at a busy time, at a peak time. So we avoid those times completely.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, other than the one haunt we did yesterday, which didn't the tour one, the Devil's Tour, Devil Swamp Tour, mm-hmm. we did. I don't think we've been in a line with more than 100 people in it. TikTok.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because with Lost Souls, we didn't go into any lines.
Right.
That doesn't count. Yeah, Basement of the Dead might have had 3,000 motherfuckers in line, but we weren't in that line.
Right. No, the only other longer line, or longish line, was Darkwoods, but there was maybe 60 people.
Yeah, it was 60 to 80 tops.
Yeah.
It didn't reach triple digits.
No.
And we're going to be talking about that in a minute.
Yeah.
So yeah, but anyway, someone complained about a 45-minute wait. Okay, we don't know who's reasonable here, not taking sides in that discussion.
Right.
But what got me was the responses.
Yeah.
Where people were saying things like, well, if you didn't want to wait, you should have bought a fast pass or a VIP pass.
Right.
And it's like I said, even though the customer was likely being unreasonable, these responses of quit being cheap, buy the fast pass if you don't want to wait, aren't good answers.
No.
Having a fast pass or a VIP option is never an excuse for crappy throughput or a crappy queue experience.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure if you ran the numbers on your haunt, you're going to find that the bulk of your money comes from regular good old-fashioned general admission tickets.
Yeah.
Even at, and it's kind of weird, by the way. I've noticed this trend. I've been to haunts where it's like general admission's $25.
Yeah.
And VIP is like $5 more.
Yeah.
It's like next to nothing.
Right.
More. And the general admission line will still be out the yin yang.
Yeah, I don't get that, because I will do $5 more to save my time.
You have to save a fucking hour of my life. You better believe I'll do $5.
Yeah.
I can't see it. I'm throwing money at the microphone.
Yes.
You can't see it, but I'm doing it, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, having a fast pass or a VIP option is just not an excuse. And mm-hmm. the truth is, other than Lost Souls, we have not gone... We went VIP at Rise because we had the free VIP access
right.
to Haunted House VIP, which now I have... Take a shot every time I say VIP this episode.
Yeah.
And be prepared for death.
Yeah, pretty much.
Long story short... we have seen, like I said, great queue experiences, and we've seen horrible ones.
Mm-hmm.
And just to throw some compare and contrast out here, I want to pick on the people behind the mortuary for a minute.
Okay.
Because, and if they're listening to this, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry. But there's truth in this because they're running two attractions.
Right.
One of which is the epitome of amazing queue experiences.
Yeah.
I don't, in terms of, like, at least throughput and getting people in?
Well, throughput, yes. Entertainment is lacking at that one.
Yeah, but it wasn't really necessary for us because
right.
we were in and out so fast. So at least the epitome of throughput. And then they have one attraction, the mortuary, that is the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, at the mortuary, at least this year, they change it up every year. They're letting in groups every three, at least the night we went, nights, plural, we went.
Yeah.
They're letting people in every 3 minutes in groups of six.
Right.
Now, I'm no math genius, but I know that lets in 20 groups per hour times six is 120 people per hour.
Right.
That ain't good throughput.
No.
To give you an idea of what I use as my barometer, our home haunt...
Right.
has an average throughput. We can let in a group of four, about one per minute. And that's the group managing to snake most of the way through it. We can do that and keep a throughput going of slightly over 200 per hour.
Right.
So if we, only letting one group in at a time, can manage that, then a throughput of 120 an hour is problematic.
Right.
And it gets even worse, because what that means is that even a modest line... feels long. We got into the line there that first day. They only had
50 people.
50
maybe?
People on a high end.
Yeah,
and we had waited over 30 minutes.
Right,
we were getting to the front of the line.
Yeah,
and then all the VIP from 13th Gate showed up.
Yeah,
and really fucked the evening sideways.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was rough. So yeah, that's slow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll say this. The queue line does have music and music videos.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a couple of screens with them. I don't understand the music videos
the
they
choices.
Chose.
No. There was like two that made sense, and the rest of it was like, what? Why am I watching this?
I mean, I like my Panic at the Disco, but...
Yeah. Well, that one made sense.
It's actually
horror-themed, at least. It's much better than the other one that was played that I don't even know what it was about.
Yeah, but they didn't have much else. They had a couple of cue actors who were working it, but they weren't especially interactive. They weren't really engaging. They were just trying to startle people.
They were fairly... I think they're fairly engaging. Okay. They've got great makeup.
They do.
And
they're great to look at, definitely.
Yeah, and they get a lot of...
That sounded perverted, and I absolutely did not mean it in a perverted way. I meant they are pretty to look at, and that they have great makeup and costumes.
Yes, they're pretty in the horror haunted house.
And the way that haunters mean it.
Yes. You know, with black blood oozing out their mouth.
Yeah,
and
pretty.
Stuff.
Get it?
Yeah, exactly.
Very pretty.
Yes. But, no, they do get asked for selfies a lot, and they always oblige. So there is some interactivity there.
But it's not as much as we've seen at other Q lines.
Correct.
And even with all the separation, we still manage to crash into groups.
Yeah.
And have groups crash into us. Now, their other attraction, Scat Island Scream Park, one of my hobbies, and this is because I'm weird and horrible, is when I go to a haunt, especially a new one or a newish one to me, is I like to hang out at the exit sometimes.
Yeah.
I like to count the number of people that come out over a 5-minute span.
Right.
And I also make note of how fast they're letting groups in, because I'm really, really curious what their throughput is.
Yeah.
Now, we went to the Zombie Laser Tag attraction first because they had a short line.
Yes.
But we figured even with that short line, because this is a laser tag attraction, we're going to be there a minute. We had just assumed and given up that we were going to be there a minute.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't hurt matters or help matters that I was told that it was an hour and a half wait by someone who went obviously on a Friday or Saturday night,
yeah,
not
Pete
a Sunday.
Night, yeah.
Yeah.
And it probably was for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so... We're assuming the worst here, but this was an attraction we really wanted to do. The line didn't look too long. It had like 40 people in it maybe ahead of us.
Yeah.
We were optimists that maybe we could get it done in a reasonable amount of time. Their throughput on that is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
They let in a group of 6 every minute. Once again, I'm no math major, but that's 360 per hour.
Right.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
We had, like I said, a modest line, but we had only a 15-ish minute wait. And yeah, the attraction was shorter, it was only 12 minutes, but it was way more involved in terms of what you have to get people to do.
Right.
You don't have just to simply get people in the door. You've got to give them a gun. You've got to teach them how to use the gun. You've got to let them practice with the gun.
Right.
They worked all that crap out.
They did.
It was impressive. They had a video monitor to explain the rules while you were in the queue, so you're there learning how to do things. Then when you get shuffled into the second queue line, they hand you the gun, and you get these targets to practice on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's done, you go in.
Yeah.
It's bing, bing, bong. It's amazing. And you're in. It's like, what, we're going in already?
Yeah.
I was a little like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. You know?
I was a little surprised. And then they have to retrieve the guns at the end. I forgot that part. They have to retrieve them at the end. That part was a little hurried feeling.
That was, yeah.
But yeah, even though the queue wasn't super interactive and all we had was that screen that had the repeating message about how to use the gun.
Right.
It was a great queue experience.
Yeah, because it was moving.
It was constantly moving. I never felt like we weren't making progress. I never felt like we were wasting time.
No.
The forward momentum was high, and it ended up being a really short wait. And it's interesting, because I think we had about the same number of people in front of us at the mortuary and at that attraction.
Yeah.
But the time we were there was different, how it felt was different.
Right.
Another example of a queue experience, Basement of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Basement of the Dead has... probably the longest queue I've seen at a haunted attraction, especially in early October. We were there October 6th.
Right.
That first Saturday in October, we were there. And the queue line, it looked like those images of the bread lines in like during the Great Depression. It was, I don't know why I jumped on that.
I don't know why you did either. That's a weird thing to jump
to.
It's
like the only historical, really long line I can remember.
Oh, okay.
Because you see, like, the image is, like, going blocks and blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. It was crazy. But it was so awesome.
Yeah.
Because they had all this stuff going on. They had a DJ spinning 80s tunes. They had stilt walkers, zombie clown dancers. They were throwing freebies at people. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody got a koozie.
Probably.
It was so much excitement. People, and this was what like blew my mind, was we were in the VIP section where we were the Haunted Bus Tour, Lost Souls, and we were able to see the front of the line.
Right.
These people have probably been in line an hour or more.
Yeah.
And they're getting to the front of the line, and they're bouncing to the music. They're just excited as hell.
Yeah.
They're amped.
Well, and part of that is that they had enough line actors that they were actually going out of the haunt and down to the end of the line and getting people back there and interacting with them,
yeah,
too. They weren't just focusing on the people at the front.
No. They were running the entire course. They had people under the line, like, snaked under, like, a parking garage or something,
yeah,
next door. They had people in the parking garage.
Yeah.
Doing stuff. We could see them working.
Yeah.
I think about every, 100 people or so, they had line actors doing things.
Right.
It was amazing. So, yeah, it was a long wait, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly how long, but we know,
right,
it was, had to have been a long wait.
Yeah.
But it seemed like no one actually cared.
No, and from one of the people who had been by themselves, who was on the tour with us, he said that he had waited 2 hours before in that line and loved every minute of it.
Yeah. And that was that's almost word for word what he said.
Yeah.
That's almost literally word for word. We say, yeah, I waited two and a half hours on it. Loved every minute of it. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
The only problem is when you have a queue line that good, the haunt can't live up. There's like nothing you can do in that haunt.
The haunt was really good too.
It was a good haunt, but it can't live up to the queue line.
To the amping up of it.
May have been too good of a queue line.
But you compare that
to our experience at Darkwoods, which we talked about last week, which was the throughput was severely limited,
right,
before the line stopped. Queue actors were not consistently available. There was no music, no video, nothing,
yeah,
to look at or do. And it was, like I said, it was over an hour wait with just 80 people in front of us in line.
Right.
Yeah, we were cranky, especially after we were stopped still for 25 minutes with no explanation.
Right.
I went into that haunt super cranky.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's a hell of a hole to dig yourself out of.
It is.
You better have one really amazing haunt to get out of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is a haunt that amazing. I'm just being honest. All right, so this brings us to the question of what are the fundamentals for a good queue experience. Now, like I said, I'm writing this from a customer's perspective.
Right.
What do I, when I go to a haunt as a customer, look for in a queue line?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say right off the bat, throughput is king.
Yeah.
Basement of the Dead was able to placate people for 2 hours, but they had to do a ton of crap.
Yeah.
They had to really work at it. Scout Island here in New Orleans didn't have to do anything.
Right.
They just got us in the damn door.
Exactly.
So, throughput is king. If a wait gets truly unreasonable, there's nothing that can save you.
No.
I mean, so minimize the wait is obviously the first thing. And this is especially important, like the screen part, like Scout Island, because
mm-hmm.
every second a customer is in a queue,
yeah,
is a minute. They're not buying t-shirts. They're not buying hot dogs. They're not buying the funnel cakes, which were not on sale when we left.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm
still upset you didn't get your funnel cake.
Yes, I am!
Yeah.
I go to a fair, I get a funnel cake. These are the orders of operations. This is how life works. Sun comes up, sun goes down, Jonathan gets a funnel cake. This just happens, and it didn't happen, and the universe feels wrong.
Yeah, well, the Ferris wheel wasn't spinning either.
Yeah, I know, and I go on the Ferris wheel too, and that wasn't working either.
Yeah. But no, I mean, there were other carnival games that people
yeah.
could have been playing.
Yeah,
like,
put the zombie brain in the zombie.
Yeah.
Put the brain in the zombie.
Everybody here has seen.
Yeah.
There
are various ones that were out there. But yeah, every moment a customer is in a queue, they're not doing those other things. They're not spending that money.
Right.
So yeah, that sucks. You want them spending that dollar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get them out of the queue as quickly as possible. To that end, though, moving lines are much better and much easier on customers than stopped ones.
Yeah.
This was, I think, the worst thing the House of Shock did in hindsight.
Yeah.
In terms of its queue line, in terms of its throughput.
Right.
It wasn't just that. It closed the haunt for half the time and nuked its throughput to the
right.
stage show. It's that it also meant you were standing completely still forever.
Yeah.
You were not moving.
Yeah, no, they did have, people selling drinks and stuff on the outside, basically shot girls. But you had to get an outside edge, and that's all you could buy.
And many times we were in there, we were stuck in dead center of the cattle gates.
Yeah, desperately wanting water.
Desperately wanting water or a bathroom.
Or something, just anything.
So, moving lines are just so much easier because it's weird. I mean, a line that moves, even if it's a long line, it reduces boredom. It gives me new things to look at.
Right.
And it makes me feel like I'm doing something.
Yeah.
Walking is doing something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like one of the other really good queue lines that I didn't see in here, but we saw a few years ago was whenever we went to Fright Trail in Lafayette.
Yeah.
They had props and actors and selfie booths set up.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about that on the show whenever we did it.
Yeah, they had a selfie shack set up where you could go. You could do your little live videos or take your selfies or whatever and then pop right back where you were in line.
Yeah. Well, and the line went through it.
Yeah, exactly. But but you had to step aside to actually do the selfie thing.
Yeah. But, and their rules were there too, about halfway.
Yeah.
So,
which I think is, I personally prefer it when haunts have the rules in the queue line.
Yes.
Rather than making the first room of the haunt about telling you the rules.
Yeah.
A, it chokes throughput bad.
Right.
And B, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it takes me out of it when this actor, usually one of the best actors in the haunt, comes out, greetings, and then reads me a list of rules.
And tells me how safe everything is. Yeah.
It's like, right out of the moment. Thanks. Getting a line that's moving is so crucial because it changes the scenery, prevents time from feeling wasted. Okay, queue actors. Ideally should be highly interactive and most importantly, should engage with everyone. Now, this is important. You may have to alter your queue line to make that possible.
Yeah.
One of the worst experiences we had in this area was, and this was a few years back, they may have changed it, was Terror on the Coast.
Right.
Huge cattle gate system in this big warehouse. Lots of line actors.
Yeah.
But they had no way of getting into the center of the queue.
Right. Because they had the big metal cattle gates.
Yeah, the big metal cattle gates. No way they could get into the center of the queue. And all they had to do was do a minor redesign of it to allow hallways that go between people.
Right.
And it would have worked so much better. And it would allow the actors in and would allow them to entertain. But yeah, that was a long wait with very little to do.
Yeah.
Make sure they engage with everyone. And make sure that your queue line is set up so that your actors can reach everyone. That's very important.
Yeah.
Also, queue line actors I don't think should be annoying characters.
No.
We've been to two attractions where one or all of the queue line actors were meant to be annoying characters.
Yeah.
Do you like spending time with annoying people?
Not really, no.
Yeah, they're entertaining.
Sometimes.
But also the shtick wears off quick.
Yeah.
And if I describe someone as annoying, that means I don't want to spend time with them. So that makes the time I'm in the queue feel longer in some cases.
Exactly. Yeah.
So something to think about. I do like the idea, though, and this is one of the things Basement of the Dead did really well, was put people in awe.
Yeah.
Make people go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Holy whatever. Well, choose your explicitive.
Yes.
But I love that because they had the stilt walkers for one.
Right.
They also had like the zombie stripper character doing this wild dance and flipping off stuff. And then one actor, and there was a different actor flipping off things. They had that one actor that was jumping all around and being all crazy. Mm-hmm. And people were like, whoa, look at him.
Yeah. He's having fun. I want to have fun.
It wows people.
Yeah.
It's awesome. When you do that, they forget they're waiting in a line. It feels like an experience unto itself.
Yeah, because it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Make it fun. Make it a little scary, but don't make it too scary. Especially don't make it scarier than your haunt.
Right. And don't scare away people before they buy the tickets.
Yeah, I might have done that once on accident, okay?
Well, we've also seen it at other haunts. You know, the scare actors scare people before they're finished at the ticket booth, and then they run back to their cars and leave.
Yeah. Well, I
wasn't you.
No, I did have an incident once. I was working the ticket booth at Chamber of Horrors, and I was doing it as my Bernie character. And Bernie character, I've mentioned it before, but it bears repeating, is an old Carney Barker type.
Yeah.
He's like a bajillion years old.
Uh-huh.
And so basically with this ticket booth, it had a Lexan front on it that came up and was hooked into the ceiling. So I had this Lexan top on it, had a bamboo cane. And so someone walks up to the ticket booth, and I pop up and hit the Lexan with the top of my cane. How's it going? Bang! And then the father and two kids just turn around. They're gone.
Yeah.
Like, nope. I'm like, oh, didn't think it was that hard of a scare.
No.
Oh, well. Wouldn't have done too well in the haunt.
No.
Okay, cue sets. Sorry, back on track.
Is another discussion that people have is that, well, if they can't handle the line,
yeah,
then they can't handle the haunt. And that might be true, but they should be able to handle buying a ticket.
Yeah. They should be able to handle the part that gives you money.
Exactly.
that part should definitely be handleable. There's not much commerce. And if you think that they shouldn't,
yeah,
ask the owner of the haunt.
Right. If you're not.
If you're not. Ask the person whose money's on the line. I'm just curious what they think.
Yeah.
Anyways, cue sets. Decorate. Don't, you know, make sure it's something that is attractive, something that's good to look at, something that feels like part of the haunt.
Right.
Give things people to look at. And one thing I was reading on a site when I was researching this, mm-hmm, was the use of screens and why it is so good in queue lines.
Mm-hmm.
Screens inherently distract people. Now, yes, we all have phones in our pockets we can pull out at any time, but that's work.
Right.
Screens are very good at distracting people, especially if they're interactive in some way. Giving people something interactive to do. Disney, for example, has started using small tablets in some of the queue lines that you can play games on. While you're waiting.
VR experiences are becoming a thing.
Yeah. Things like that in the queue line can really, really help. So, yeah, consider including some screens out there. Even if it's just playing music videos, if it's just, you know, doing something, giving them something to watch and look at will help.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is this so damned important? It's simple. Your queue determines the mood customers go into when they visit your haunt. Go into your haunt with.
Mm-hmm.
A good queue experience gets people amped up and excited to go in, and that makes it way easier for them to have a good time in your haunt.
Right.
If you look at, like, mood as, like, a number line, like, 0 to 10 one way, 0 to negative 10 the other. And
yeah.
Like, if they come in, they walk in and buy your ticket at a 0, and your queue line gets them to like 2 or 3 or 4 even, and I mean,
yeah,
gets them pretty upbeat and happy, then it's going to be way easier to push them to 10.
Yeah.
When they're inside the haunt. But if your queue line experience sucks, and they go to -2, -3, -4, now,
yeah, you've got a long way to go. I have nothing to do but talk to Jonathan for the waiting line.
Yeah, think of Crystal. Think of Crystal when building your queue line. She's stuck there with nothing to do but talk to me.
Yeah.
Take pity. That's a good way to phrase that. That's a very good way. But yeah, I mean, my personal opinion is that a VIP ticket should save time but not give an inherently better experience.
Right. Now, I did feel bad last night for the people who were in the VIP line at the Devil's Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just got stuck with our group.
Yeah.
They got stuck in the front of it. Now, if I paid $30 extra per ticket, I would expect to get a lantern and go through by myself.
Yeah, that was a weird haunt in the way they handled queuing. It's a trail haunt and part of Scout Island. And what's weird about it is, it's like I said, it was the longest queue line in terms of number of people we've been in all season, easily.
Right.
I think it probably had several hundred people.
Right.
Easy. Might have had close to 1,000 almost.
Now, we did skip a lot of really long lines up in Chicago, as we've talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
We would have been in longer lines, but this is the longest one we've actually had to wait in.
Exactly. Thank you. But what they do that's really bizarre is they break the groups up way back in the queue.
Yeah.
And they do that with lanterns. They basically give someone a lantern, and then they go 1, 2, 3, 4, what, I think it's 12. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever. And then they give that person a lantern. And person with the lantern goes, people behind them go, next person with the lantern waits when they get up front. So they've essentially made the groups in advance like that, which is an interesting strategy. I'll have to talk to them and see what the benefits of that are.
Right.
And actually thought of that. But you're right. When the VIP people showed up, they got stuck with our group, which means they not just didn't get a better experience, they got a worse, because instead of going with a group of 12, they went with a group of 15.
Right.
And so did we, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. There was someone in our group of the group that was very unhappy about that.
Our group within the group.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is a lot of people for one group. But it did fix the throughput. Like I said, we cranked through that line probably in under half an hour.
We did.
So, you know, just saying, which would you rather have? Would you rather waited an hour? Or would you rather have had 12 people in your group?
Yeah.
I don't think I lost too much having a larger group in that particular haunt, because it was a trail haunt.
Right.
And we were pretty huddled close together, and there weren't a lot of places where you were snaking through and missing scares because they were attacking someone way up front.
The only real one that I can think of right off the top of my head was the shack.
Yeah, there was a shack there that did that. That was a very small portion of it overall.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But basically, just I want to make sure that every customer feels like their time at the haunt was worthwhile.
Yeah.
If someone goes home and thinks to themselves, geez, I spent 30 minutes driving to the haunt, waited in line an hour and a half, I spent 15 minutes in the haunt, then spent half an hour driving home.
Yeah.
Was this really worth my time?
Right.
Well, you can't fix the drive time, but you can improve the queue line time.
Right.
And you can do that one of two ways. There's two approaches to it.
Mm-hmm.
One is you can improve your throughput so they're spending less time. And the other is you improve the queue line experience so they don't mind waiting in line.
Yes.
Those are your two alternatives. Ideally, you do both.
Yeah.
But those are the two ways you can really address the queue line experience. And that's just it. It's like after going to that laser tag attraction and seeing the incredible throughput they were doing with it.
Right.
Really mind-blowing what they were doing. Next time a haunt tells me, oh, we can't do any faster throughput. There's no way. It's not possible. Bullshit.
Yeah.
There are ways. I'm sorry, I have seen the light on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the laser, as it might be.
It was a laser light.
But anyways, you know, here's the thing. There are no... I do want to talk about some queue line alternatives real fast. We got about, you know, 5-10 minutes left here. We have actually been to a couple of haunts which have largely done away with queue lines, as we think about it.
Mm-hmm.
One in Atlanta, I'm trying to remember the name of it. But they did a system that lets you in at the right time. Basically, you go, you check in at where your ticket is taken.
Right.
And then you get a text with a code when you can go in.
Yeah.
And that lets you roam the grounds. Now, unfortunately for them, that was kind of a wasted effort. They didn't have anything else to do on the grounds.
Yeah. Hopefully it worked better this year than it did last year.
Yeah, it also didn't work very well in their case.
But yeah, it's a really good idea.
Well, it's a very good
idea. That would have been great for the Scream Park.
Yeah, and Disney does something similar to this. It's called the My Magic Plus system, which is, they give you a wristband, a waterproof wristband, that basically is your life at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You use it to unlock your hotel room. You use it to, you know, get on the transport. You use it to do everything, but you also use it to reserve times to get on rides.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can go, I want to be on Splash Mountain or whatever, and you can, when your time comes, you just go boop, and you go through a very short line for people that had reserved.
Yeah.
You can also use more queueless attractions, like scare zones at theme parks. Those don't have queues.
Right.
And at Halloween Horror Nights, those are some of the best parts, according to what everyone else has said.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't super impressed with the scare zones at Scout Island.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the scare zone format's pretty interesting. The ability just to roam in and out of it, kind of as you see fit, pretty cool.
It is.
No queue, no waiting. You just kind of meander through. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, if your haunt has a bad queue experience, there will be bad reviews.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can change that.
No.
Yeah, sometimes customers are unreasonable. Sometimes customers are unreasonable in every way. It's not just QAnon. Customers will bitch about the price of a free haunt. Okay, yeah. They will complain about everything if they're given the chance. And the internet gives them all the chance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Customers will complain about just about anything, and a lot of it will be unreasonable. But at the same time, if you are getting complaints about the queue line, maybe it's not the customers that are being unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is something wrong with your queue line experience. Maybe it's taking too long.
Right. Well, that's something that we've talked about, that if... You know, you get one complaint, it's nothing.
Yeah, ignore the usually. One complaint. Yeah, usually.
But if you get a lot of complaints about the same thing, then maybe you should look at it.
Yeah. And all this reminds me of a story my dad told me. He told it to me as truth, but I've never been able to confirm its veracity, but it feels true. It's one of those stories. It's about an apartment building in New York City that was getting a ton of complaints about its elevators.
Mm-hmm.
People saying that the elevators were taking too long.
Yeah.
That people, that they weren't working properly, they were taking too long, and they need to fix them. So they bring in the first consultant. The consultant comes in and says, well, what you need are new higher speed elevators. That'll cost $200,000.
Yeah.
Well, we can't afford that. We don't have the money. Throws them aside. Bring in another guy. He comes in and says, oh, well, what you really need to do is turn one of these into an express elevator so it skips a lot of floors and get people up faster. Mm-hmm. That'll cost you $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't do it. It's way too much. Third guy comes in, looks at it, and says, I think I can solve your problem for about $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he goes on every floor, and right next to the elevators, he puts mirrors in. And so that way, people are spending their time doing their hair, checking their makeup, whatever, checking their jackets, and make sure they look good before they go out in the world.
Yeah.
Or as they're coming home. And they forget about how long it's taking. They have something to do for those few minutes while waiting on the elevator.
Yeah.
Complaints immediately dropped, and things got better.
Yeah.
And there's actually another story about an airport. And I wish I could remember which one. I think it might have been O'Hare, actually. In which they opened a new terminal, and there were immediately complaints
mm-hmm.
about how long it took to wait at the baggage claim.
Hmm.
The baggage carousel thing is
right.
taking too long. Everyone's whining about how long it's taken. So, what they did is they realized they didn't have much of a way to speed up the process. They adjusted the walking path to the carousel to make it significantly longer.
Yeah.
And this way, people are now snaking through what I can imagine is like a haunted attraction here.
Yeah.
Through this labyrinth. So that when they arrive to the baggage carousel, their bags are almost there, if not already on the carousel.
Mm-hmm.
And complaints drop next to zero.
Yeah, which that is something that haunts could do.
Yeah, you can extend the length of your...
As long as it's an interesting walking path to go on.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there are approaches to queue line problems that are different. But, yeah, simply saying that, oh, well, if you didn't want to wait, you should have bought the fast pass, that isn't the answer.
No.
You've got to solve the queue line problem, whether it is improving throughput and making that wait time less, whether it's improving the queue line experience,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's simply tricking people into thinking it's shorter than it is,
yeah,
doing some Disney tomfoolery there. You got to do something to address that issue, because the bulk of your money is going to be made from general admission ticket holders. And yeah, you need them to be happy, because basically, yeah, VIP people might pay more, but everyone has the same amount of review power on Facebook and Google and so forth.
Yep.
So think about it that way. Well, anything else to add about this?
No.
I think we covered it pretty thoroughly. Well, look, this was episode 151 of Haunt Weekly, entitled Q-Line Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never mind.
No.
don't do that. You can find us at hauntweekly.com. We're hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will take you to our YouTube channel, where this and all previous episodes will be stored. You can also find us on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, anywhere else finer podcasts are distributed. We love you wherever you listen to us. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode number 151, talking about Q-Line Blues. Now, next week is episode 152. That is divisible by 4. That means it's time to do
the news.
And we're doing it on the Sunday after we've been open. What the hell am I thinking? If we're alive, we will see you guys next time.